Our passage of scripture tonight is Psalm 71, as we continue through the Psalms. Psalm 71. In you, O Lord, I put my trust. Let me never be put to shame. Deliver me in your righteousness and cause me to escape. Incline your ear to me and save me. Be my strong refuge, to which I may resort continually. You have given the commandment to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, O God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteous and cruel man. For you are my hope, O Lord God. You are my trust from my youth. By you I have been upheld from birth. You are he who took me out of my mother's womb. My praise shall be continually of you. I have become as a wonder to many, but you are my strong refuge. Let my mouth be filled with your praise and with your glory all the day. Do not cast me off in the time of old age. Do not forsake me when my strength fails. For my enemies speak against me, and those who lie in wait for my life take counsel together, saying, God has forsaken him. Pursue and take him, for there is none to deliver him. O God, do not be far from me. O my God, make haste to help me. Let them be confounded and consumed who are adversaries of my life. Let them be covered with reproach and dishonor who seek my hurt. But I will hope continually, and I will praise you more and more. My mouth shall tell of your righteousness and your salvation all the day. For I do not know their limits. I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of your righteousness, of yours only. O God, you have taught me from my youth, and to this day I declare your wondrous works. Now also when I am old and gray-headed, O Lord, do not forsake me until I declare your strength to this generation, your power to everyone who is come. Also, your righteousness, O God, is very high. You who have done great things, O God, who is like you? You who have shown me great and severe troubles shall revive me again and bring me up again from the depths of the earth. You shall increase my greatness and comfort me on every side. Also, with the lute I will praise you and your faithfulness, O my God. To you I will sing with the harp, O Holy One of Israel. My lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing to you, and my soul which you have redeemed. My tongue also shall talk of your righteousness all the day long. For they are confounded, for they are brought to shame, who seek my hurt. David is not mentioned as the author of this psalm, and usually if David's not mentioned, I'm the first one to tell you this psalm, we don't know if it was written by David or not, but of all those psalms where David is not mentioned and no title or anything is connected to the psalm, this is one where I would say this was David. This is David writing, and I know I'm using conjecture, but it's obviously written if it's by David or whoever it is. They're writing this psalm in their old age, and that's why I call it a psalm or a prayer for old age. And this, I believe, was written when David was bedridden and near the end of his kingdom, and Adonijah, his son, was trying to make himself king. That's just my conjecture, and there's a lot of people that have different ideas about this psalm. But I think that's one way that this psalm fits. It's interesting when you work on a sermon, and I've been going through the psalms. There's such a joy. You start to understand and see things you haven't seen before. And it's this psalm that this is a psalm of David really stuck out to me, even though I'm used to saying, well, if it doesn't say his name, it's not. But I think this is. And sometimes I thought it would be a great thing if everybody had the chore at least once in life to write a sermon. to put it together, or at least a Bible study or something like that, because you gain so much more out of it when you're looking and you're thinking of presenting it to somebody else. And it's a challenge, and yet it's a challenge that is a joyful challenge, especially when you see something that you haven't seen before. And that was true for me when I studied this psalm. I thought, this is David in his old age giving us a psalm. Maybe he doesn't name it because he wants it to benefit everybody as they grow older. And so here first, what we see, and it's obvious in this psalm, and it goes all through the psalm, is we see confidence in God expressed. Stated from the very start, in you, O Lord, I put my trust. Let me never be put to shame. Psalm 71:1. He's put his trust in God. He knows he can trust God. Applied in believing, confident prayer. The psalmist is confident in God's his righteous help. He says, deliver me in your righteousness and cause me to escape. Incline your ear to me and save me. He's also confident in God's strength as a constant and continuous refuge, a rock and a fortress. He says, be my strong refuge to which I may resort continually. You have given the commandment to save me. You are my rock and my fortress. And that sounds like David, doesn't it? So many of his songs reference God as his rock and his fortress. That was the place he was secure. As a young man, David's strength was his God. And now even as an older man, that's the same. See, deliverance from the unrighteous. He prays for, deliver me, O God, from the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteous and cruel man. And then number three, we see this confidence in God is aided by experience and joined with praise. He says, for you are my hope, O Lord God. You are my trust from my youth. And some of you have had God from your youth, from when you were children, all the way up to your current age. And that was the case with David. We know that in his history. We see that he was, as a youth, he was a godly young man. And he says, by you have been upheld from birth. You are he who took me out of my mother's womb. My praise shall be continually of you. If you remember how David died, he died fairly young. He was only 75 years old when he died. And in those days, people were living a lot longer than that, just like they're living longer today. And so he died fairly young, and he was, for such a warrior that he was very weak. It seems he was bedridden the last year or so, at least, of his life. And he was very weak and able to do very little. But I think he was, you know, when we look at Scripture, he was able to communicate. His mind was still there to the very end. And he praised God to the end. So first we see confidence in God. Second we see this confidence in God is despite wonderful weakness. He says in verse 7, I have become a wonder to many, but you are my strong refuge. No, note that the wonder is, I believe, in his weakness, and it's in contrast to God's strength. God is his strong strength. He was weak in himself. He saw his body decaying. He saw himself getting weaker every day, but still God was his strength. God was still his refuge. David died, as I said, at 75, a relatively young age. But before he died, as I said, he was weak and bedridden. And this would be a wonder. It would be a strange thing, an astonishing thing to see David, this man who was such a fighter, to be bedridden. If you remember it, he wrote in Psalm 18:29, for by you I can run against a troop. By my God I can leap over a wall. And so even when he was younger and athletic, he didn't attribute that to himself. He counted that the reason he could fight against a troop or leap over a wall is because God gave him that strength. And so it's the same when he's older. It's always God that has his strength. When he fought Goliath, it wasn't that David was a superior fighter. It was because God was on his side. Christ was such a wonder too. due to the beating he took on the cross. And we see some of that in Isaiah 52:14, a prophecy of Christ. It says, just as many were astonished at you, meaning they wondered at him. They were astonished at how he looked so beaten. So his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of man. You wouldn't think that that's the Son of God, that that's the Savior. And how did he save them? By his beating. That's what it talks about in Psalm 53. And they were astonished at him. David beat Goliath because of God's power and not his own youthful strength. And so there's no difference in God's ability to help due to David's old age. He can help him just as much as he did when he was younger. David prays for a mouthful of praise. He says, let my mouth be filled with your praise and with your glory all the day. 71:8. He didn't want his mouth ever to be empty of praise for his God. Thirdly, David's confidence in God is despite the confidence or the strength of David's enemies. The infirmities of David's, or whoever this is, there's old age, and probably his sins, if he's looking back at his sins with Bathsheba, make other people think that God has forsaken David. And some of the people who say, well, this wasn't when David was very old, but this was, you know, the time of David with Absalom. That's another possibility. And it could have been because of his sins that he had committed, and because he, you know, seemed to have his tail between his legs, you know, running away from Absalom. Maybe that's why they were wondering at him. I still think it's his old age because it mentions it several times in this psalm. But, and here it is again, 71:9 and 11. It says, do not cast me off in the time of old age. Do not fail me when my strength fails. Do not forsake me when my strength fails. For my enemies speak against me, and those who lie in wait for my life take counsel together, saying, God has forsaken him. Pursue and take him, for there is none to deliver him. See, if you think of it here, if David's lying in bed and he can't even get out of bed, what a time to take him. This is the time to get him. He's very vulnerable now. His enemies wrongly count him so vulnerable. They're saying, for there's none to deliver that him, shows that they're not seeing or believing in God. They might think he's vulnerable because he's down, but God was still there to protect him, and they will be ashamed and confounded. It says, God has forsaken him, but they will be ashamed and confounded, because ultimately, when they're beaten by David this time, just as Goliath was beaten by a young boy, these would be beaten by David as an old man. So it says in verses 12 and 13, O God, do not be far from me. O my God, make haste to help me. That sounds a lot like the psalm we were at just last week. Make haste, hurry to help me. Let them be confounded and consumed who are my adversaries of my life. Let them be covered with reproach and dishonor who seek my hurt. John Knox was a great man of prayer, and Mary, Queen of Scots, was a persecutor of the church. And she said, I would rather face the armies of England than the prayers of John Knox, because he was such a prayer that she was afraid of him. And I think David was like that. Ultimately, whether they were afraid of him or not, his prayers were his power. Fourthly, David's confidence in God means hope, even in hard times and ever increasing praise. But I will hope continually. You know, he's lying in bed. If you can picture him lying in bed, but he hopes continually. And I will praise you yet more and more. You know, as he's lying in bed, he's not thinking, you know, oh, I need to complain about my pains and my aches. I'm sure if this is the case, he can't get up. He's feeling his aches and pains. And he says, yet I will praise you more and more. My mouth shall tell of your righteousness and your salvation all the day, for I do not know their limits, meaning the limits of God's salvation and the limits of God's righteousness. He's saying that they have no limits. I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of your righteousness, of yours only. You know, David had seen too much. God had done too much in his lifetime for David ever to give up hope. You know, the defeating of Goliath, the frustration of Saul trying to catch him. All the things that David had gone through before this amount to this, I can't give up hope now. And then he praises, and he says his praise will be more and more. As he gets older, as he gets weaker, other things may diminish, but he's going to praise God more and more. David was a shepherd, he was a king, and he was a preacher of God's righteousness and salvation, and yet he couldn't stop preaching that, even though he might stop doing other things. And why is that? Because God's righteousness and salvation are limitless, and David could see that. He did not know the limits of God's righteousness and salvation, and why is that? Well, these things have no limits. Deuteronomy 33:27 says, "The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. He will thrust out the enemy before you, and will say, destroy." Well, that was Moses writing that. But the same is true for David. He sees that in his life. And five, he mentions, you know, the strength of the Lord. In the Hebrew, it's literally the strengths, plural, of the Lord. John Gill writes this. He says, "The power of God is expressed by the plural number to show the greatness of it, which is as a garrison to the believer." And so the strengths of the Lord are on our side. Fifthly, David, or whoever this psalmist is, has confidence in God because of a long-term relationship. Verse 17, it says, "O God, you have taught me from my youth, and to this day I will declare your wondrous works. Now also when I am old and gray-headed, O God, do not forsake me until I declare your strength to this generation, your power to everyone who is to come." From youth to old age, verses 17 and 18. This is another indication, I believe, why this is talking about David. Because we know David as a youth was strong for God and strong with God. And God was strong with him. And here he is in old age saying this. Albert Barnes said, "Who can think of all this and not pray for special grace for himself? Should he live to see the days of infirmity and weakness? And who, in view of such infirmities, can fail to see the propriety of seeking favor of God in early years?" You who are older, who are still with the Lord, aren't you glad that you got with the Lord when you were younger and stronger, and now you know the Lord is with you? God is with you because you were with him for a long time. And he's going to stay with you till the end, until you're in heaven. What a blessed thing it is to have a long relationship with the God of the universe. As it says in Romans, "What shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us?" Here's David laying in his bed. That's where I believe this psalm is written. He's very weak. He has enemies all around him. Adonijah, one of his own sons, related to Absalom, is probably trying to be king. And he sees this happening. He's had battles all his life, but he knows God has won every one of them. Solomon ends up king in the end. I think this might have been written, you know, right about that time, and Solomon may have already been king before David finished this psalm. And the next psalm, Psalm 71, talks about Solomon's kingdom. And I think David might have been looking forward to that, seeing the victory that would come. How great Solomon would have things with no competition. He had peace all around him. And that is partly what Jesus does when we get to heaven. We battle here on earth like David, but when we're in heaven, we're like Solomon. Six, there is praise here for everything God does, from righteousness to the resurrection. David's, Christ's, the son of David's. Here, it's interesting. Here, we've seen in some of the other psalms how they relate to Christ, and I think there's some of that in this. Verse 19, he says, "Also your righteousness, O God, is very high. You have done great things, O God, who is like you? You who have shown me great and severe troubles shall revive me again and bring me up from the depths of the earth. You shall increase my greatness and comfort me on every side. We see this. First, the history of God's dealing with his people. You who have done great things. You know, there's that very general terminology there. Great things. Well, what is included in great things? Well, you could say all the plagues that came down on Egypt, the crossing of the Red Sea, Joshua's battle of Jericho, the walls falling, all these great things. You could add them up, and they all fit in the general category of great things. You have done great things. Our God has no competition. Who is like you? And here it sounds a little like Moses too, and after he had crossed the Red Sea, who is like unto you, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like unto you, glorious in praises, fearful in wonders? He mentions great troubles and severe troubles. Who had great troubles? Well, David definitely had them. And his son, the son of David, meaning Christ, he had troubles, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Even the cross is a trouble. And then he says, revive and bring me up again from the depths of the earth. Well, I don't think that David was in the depths of the earth until he died. But the son of David was in the depths of the earth, and he rose again from the depths. And one day, because we'll all resurrect, David will resurrect as well. So he could be referring to himself, or he could be prophesying about Christ, or perhaps he's seeing Solomon's kingdom. Because as he's dying, there's a kingdom coming up all around him in his son Solomon, or Christ's great kingdom. Maybe he has a vision here on his deathbed of the kingdom of Christ, which is where there's no more crying or tears or sorrow or pain or death. And there's gold. He's seeing the golden streets and the gates of pearl and all this. Verse 21, George Rogers writes, greatness increasing with comfort and comfort increasing with greatness, very rarely united. And here's David, maybe not feeling great, if it is David, and he's dying on his deathbed, and yet he sees that his son is going to have a greater kingdom. His son is going to build the king is going to build the temple, and maybe he's even seeing forward to what Christ would do, and he's praising God for that, and he's comforted even in this circumstance, knowing that this man who is going to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords is also called the Son of David. Well, David uses what he has even to the end to praise God. Verse 22 through 24, it says, also with the lute I will praise you and your faithfulness, O my God. To you I will sing with the harp, O Holy One of Israel. My lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing to you, and my soul which you have redeemed. My tongue also shall talk of your righteousness all the day long. For they are confounded, for they are brought to shame who seek my hurt. Psalm 71, 22 through 24. Obviously, this is another indication that this is probably David. He says he's going to praise him with the harp. And David was known as praising with the harp from the time he was a youth and he was brought before Saul. And he had to be extremely skillful with that harp because he had to be the best if he's brought before the king. And so as a young man, he has this great skill. Even before he defeated Goliath, he has this great skill in playing music, playing that harp. And as an older man, it seems it's not left him. Maybe he can barely get back up on the bed, and he grabs his harp, but he still, not because of great skill anymore, but because of great experience, he can still play that harp. He's never lost that skill, and he still praises the Lord to the very end. And he praises, he says, with my lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing to you. He's still singing. And my soul, which you have redeemed. And so here, William Nicholson writes, my lips and my soul. Hypocrites praise God with the lips only, but David joins the soul to his lips. And we do that when we're true to God. It's not just our lips that are praising. But our very soul, our very heart, every part of our being is praising God. Well, let's pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness to us. We thank you for this psalm that seems to be writing of David and in his old age, and how he continually praises you. Whoever it is, obviously they haven't stopped praising you when they're older and when they're weaker. And they're trusting in you, even in that difficult time. And Father, we pray that would be us and is us as we seek to continually praise you to the end of our lives. And Father, we thank you if that is us, that you have stayed with us all these years. And we thank you for your faithfulness. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.